I want you to open your Bibles to the Old Testament tonight. We're going to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 6. We'll get into the famous portion, best known portion, in chapter 7 probably a little bit, but just for a little while tonight, 2 Chronicles chapter 6. I've had several questions. People come to me with this question, and so I thought I'd deal with it just a little bit tonight. The question is there any hope for America to return? We recognize that America has called for the judgment of God on her for a number of years now, and the things that are still going on. I've quoted before what Billy Graham said many years ago. He said if God did not judge America, he would have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah because of the same sin, even on a larger scale, I think, than probably brought fire and brimstone down on Sodom and Gomorrah. So the question comes, and we all know the formula. I hope we do. I'll refer to it again tonight in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, where somebody said, well, that is just to Israel. Well, yes, but every scripture has also a spiritual application. And the Apostle Paul said the things written aforetime, that would be the Old Testament, things written aforetime were written for our admonition, our example and admonition. So yes, in a sense, we can apply it. The portion I'm going to read for a text is found in chapter 6, and we're going to go to verse 32 and 33. I hope this drainage here that's hitting my vocal cords tonight will clear up. I don't think I have what Brother Burt used for an excuse to go fishing, but if so, I might do the same thing. I don't think so. I think it's my old regular stuff. It's all I believe it is. And anyhow, go with me to the text, 2 Samuel. Pick it up in chapter 6. And let's jump in about, I'm going to say verse 32. I'm going to look at it, double check here. 32. This is Solomon's prayer. Now, he's praying to God. It's a long prayer. It'd be a great benefit to you to study his prayer, to think about all that he comes to the Lord with. He's in the dedication of the temple, God's plan. Solomon has built a big platform, as it was, a scaffold, we might call it, kind of in the middle of the people and the crowd in the temple. And he himself has gotten up on the temple, and he's spread his hands before God, and the people are watching their king pray and confess to the Lord and ask for God's blessings in the future and bring it up many cases if the nation backslides and goes back on God and disobeys God, how he's still asking God to let them come back and repent, come back and get right. So it's a powerful prayer. I hope that you've read it before. We'll get into maybe just a little bit of it tonight. But here in these verses says, moreover, concerning the stranger. Now, the question I'm talking about is, can we apply this to America? Now, here's the prayer. Now, we know it's a Jewish setting. We know this is Israel. But he's talking about the stranger that's not a Jew. Moreover, concerning the stranger, which is not of thy people Israel, but is come from a far country, for thy great name's sake. And many did come to Israel because they heard of the Lord God Jehovah and that God was with them. It says, for thy great name's sake and thy mighty hand and thy stretched out arm. If they come and pray in this house, talking about the temple, then hear thou from the heavens, even from thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee for, that all people of the earth, you know, that could include us, couldn't it? All people of the earth may know thy name and fear thee as doth thy people, Israel, and may know that this house which I have built is called by thy name. Now remember, this is King Solomon. King Solomon believed to be the richest king that ever lived. You remember when God granted Solomon a prayer request, and how later on he praised Solomon because he did not ask for length of days and he did not ask for wealth, but he asked for wisdom. And God was pleased with that prayer. And instead, he not only gave him the wisdom, he also added to him what he didn't ask for, and that was length of days and wealth also. Now, as I look at it here, I think about this thing. I do believe our nation has been in crisis with God for a long time. I have preached from this pulpit that God's judgment may have already been fallen for a number of years. Yet I got some hope in the last election. I still have some hope that America might be turning back as we begin to stand up and fight against the evil that we've seen taken over our country for so many years. The evil of the murder of the babies, that's a big one. The evil of the homosexual agenda that's promoted everywhere. And now we are being persecuted, even as a Christian school, if we're not willing to open the doors and accept that. And of course, we're not. Now, I preached against fear this morning. I want to say to our people, don't fear it. God is still alive. He is still on the side of right and against wrong. And so, no, don't fear that we're going to compromise and cave in. You say, wouldn't it be a terrible thing if we couldn't educate our own kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Yes, it would. But listen, it's not over yet. And we will stand up and fight all we can to be able to do that and obey the command of the Lord. But the issues today are very important. And as I review Israel here a little bit and review the parallel, let me say a few things you've heard me say before. To begin with, our nation is special. Israel was a special nation with God. We know that from the reading the Word of God. Our nation... Do you understand, of all the nations on the earth, if you'll go and look, there's very few, and the two outstanding ones is Israel and America, that did not come out of paganism. That's right. Almost every other nation did. They began as pagan nations, heathen nations. And yet our missionaries reached many of them, and there are nations today, islands in particular, certain places in particular in the mission field, that's been reached by the missionaries, and they're no longer what we would call a pagan nation as a whole. But America and Israel started off with God. They never did come out of the paganism that other nations came out of. The gospel delivered many other nations. You know, the Bible says in Psalms 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Talking about the Lord God Jehovah. America's history is a history of walking with God, the early years, times of prayer. Famous picture of George Washington on his knees in the snow praying during the Revolutionary War. And how the old farmer went home to his wife and he said, Mary, we're going to win the war. She said, how you know? He said, because I heard a voice out in the woods and I slipped around and looked and it was General George Washington on his knees praying. That's our foundation. The French historian, very famous in read back in history, Tocqueville, he came from France. France, if you compare its history with America, there's a whole big difference. You go back and study the French Revolution and all the that's the fruit of atheism, by the way. The great so-called atheists, such as Voltaire and others, that France did not have God's blessing on them in the beginning like America did. And I go back and look at this a little bit, and God's blessing has been on us. Tocqueville, the French historian, came to America on purpose, and his whole quest, his whole trip, was to find out and search out what made America great. And I'm going to paraphrase this quote, and I'll miss it a little bit, but he said, when I came to America looking for our greatness, he said, I did not find it in the fields of waving grain. He said, I did not find her greatness in the great harbors or in the great mines or in her great commerce. He said, I only found America's greatness when I went into the church houses and heard the preaching of flame with the righteousness of God. And then he made a concluding statement like this. He said, America is great because she's good. And then he said this, if she ever ceases to be good, she'll cease to be great. And that's what that's the danger we have had through these years and still our danger tonight. America's history is one of prayer, of walking with God and having God's protection. You've heard me describe here from the pulpit before. We think about the War of 1776, and a lot of folks know very little about the War of 1812 when England came again. And Washington, D.C., our capital, was burnt with fire and sacked, and the president escaped on horseback. 1812, you ought to read about it. It looked like America was sunk that time, and then something supernaturally happened. A phenomenon come up called a hurricane or a tornado in all places. It hit right there, and it began to turn over the cannons of the English. It began to destroy the ships that had come into the harbor. And it was as though God fought in a supernatural way to save America. Read your history about it. I know Brother Weeby and I sitting out there have talked about it before. The War of 1812 and 1814, the White House was sacked, as it were, on August the 25th. But the tornadoes began to come, and the army of the enemy had to flee. And I read one article where it said the cannons were tossed about like toys. They decided to retreat, not because of our army. Actually, we were caught unprepared. But because God intervened. And he's intervened since then. It was God that blessed in World War I and World War II. And how the people prayed back then. You ought to read some of that. I was a kid in a little country school, World War II. And we would have our assembly in that little school. And not very many of us really compared to today's kind of schools. But I remember going home and telling Mother, I heard the most beautiful song I ever heard today. And the teachers had led us in God Bless America. I didn't understand much about it, but I never got over it. And God has blessed America. He has, and we owe what we have, our blessings to him. And the sad truth is we've forgot too many times to thank him. Now, I think about some of the songs that was written about back then. You'll remember some of them. By the way, to anybody, any of you folks old enough to, probably not personally, but maybe you knew of, did you ever know of what was a ration book back during World War II? Stamps. You had to have them to buy gas. You couldn't hardly buy a car tire. Even to buy a few pounds of sugar, you had to have those stamps, those books. And I remember singing in that little chapel in school that the time that a ration book would only become a souvenir. Now, I didn't know that big word, souvenir. So I went home and asked Mother, what is a souvenir? And she tried to explain to me. I said, well, they say those stamp books, one day they're asking that it might become a souvenir. She said, yeah, we wish so. I remember that as a third grader in school. And I'm saying to you, God has blessed. God has protected. We did look to God in those days. There were some songs that was written. I still remember a line or two out of them. One of them was Coming In on a Wing and a Prayer. Did you ever hear that one? let me see if I can think of another one. This will make the gun haters mad, but... It went like this, praise the Lord and pass the ammunition and we'll all go free. Anybody remember that? All right, amen. Well, God was being called on. He was being invited to save a nation, to help us to defeat evil. And he did. Otherwise, Hitler would have had his way. And Hitler was probably the greatest type of the Antichrist you'll ever read of in history. And evil personified was Hitler, no doubt about it. But I get back to our text a little bit here. We're reviewing here a little bit Solomon's prayer when he dedicated the temple, and how he asked God to even let the stranger in, So yes, in a sense, spiritually, we can take this portion given to Israel and say, God, bless America, help us. Help us to repent and get back where we ought to be, that we could be under the umbrella of your blessings. You know, we're thankful for what we have as an inheritance even from Israel. Do you hear the term every now and then, Judo-Christian? That's our foundation. That's our foundation. And so today, when you have the attack on everything that is godly and spiritual, it's an attack on both Israel and America. And I know Israel's in the same shape we're in. They had a great big gay parade not too long ago in Israel. You remember that? But they didn't, at least so far, I haven't heard that they decorated the White House in the rainbow colors like we did. You remember that? I mean, if you talk about defying God Almighty, that he calls an abomination, we have put in his face. What's going on right now? Did you see the primary elections in Iowa? And they had a bunch of confusion there. And then they went up where, New Hampshire. And now they, I don't know where they're going next. But here's the sad part. A man married to a man won one of those primaries. Can you? And the other one, avowed socialist, who he and his wife, famous for their trip to Moscow. Folks, I've been to Russia. We don't want that. If you think it's good, just go 90 miles off the tip of Florida down there and see how those folks are faring in Cuba. They're not faring well at all under socialism. If you want to stand in line, and there's some men probably listening to me tonight that went with me on the Russian trip, and we saw the lines standing around the block to get into the grocery stores, and when you went in the grocery store, it was empty. There was nothing hardly to buy. A great Russian Christian family, underground Baptists that we stayed with as preachers on that Russian trip, they sacrificed to get a little meal together, which consisted of one little chicken for several people, and the wife stood in line big part of a day to get that, to purchase that. Listen, you don't want, you ought to check it out. This crew you're listening to on the TV, they don't know what they're talking about. I'd love to send Mr. Bernie over to Russia and not let him come back. Let him enjoy it over there. You don't need to turn our country into Russia or Cuba or Venezuela or some of the rest of them that's hurting so bad. It's amazing junk that's going on, folks. We are in a crisis. Look what the crowd is out there trying to get into the White House to take. What would they do if they took over? I don't think I can take time to answer all that. It would be bad. Be bad quick. Be bad enough this radio station I'm preaching on would probably be shut down. This Christian school that this church runs would probably be shut down. Now, this so-called billionaire many times over, what's his name, Bloomberg? Is that it? By the way, he's a real Judas because his last name tells me he's a Jew. He's a real traitor as far as I'm concerned. He's trying to buy his seat in the White House. And I heard the rumor this week that he might be asking Jezebel to run with him as Vice President, I don't know if you're right. That's, anyway, I want to tell you, there's still a God on the throne. There's still a God up there that hates evil and blesses righteousness. And as God's people, he's answered prayer in the past. He can again. So yes, there's hope for America if America will do what God tells us to do. What he tells us to do. We are a nation under God. We still pledge the flag and we still say under God. President Reagan said, we are a nation under God. And when we forget it, we'll be a nation gone under. Very wise truth from the president back then. But I want you to look at the formula real quick. Chapter 7, verse 14. Familiar with you, I hope. Hope you could probably quote it. Chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open, my ears attentive unto the prayer that is made in this place. Now, look at the verse just a little bit. Yes, Solomon said the stranger can get in on it. That was the text that we read. So yes, spiritually we can apply it, and there's hope that the same God that made Israel the promise that if they'd come back, is the same God that would let America come back if we come back in that repentance. The formula here is easy to see. He says, if my people, yes, it's the Jews, but today it's the church, it's those that are saved in the Lord Jesus Christ. My people, he says, if they'll do four things, you count them with me, four things. Humble themselves, number one. Pray, number two. Number three, seek my face. And number four, turn. And there's a big key. Repent, turn. Turn back to God's values. Now, that's the formula. If my people, he's going to promise to hear. Solomon has raised so many cases here. And if the people would come back, he's asking God to forgive. If we'll humble ourselves, number one, number two, pray, number three, seek my face, number four, turn, then God says there's three things he'll do. He asks us to do four, and he says if we do those four, he'll do three. Look at the three. Three things God promises to do. Number one, hear. Respond to him, hear. Number two, forgive. And he will forgive through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, and this is a big one I'm talking about tonight, heal the land. Heal the land? What do you mean heal the land? I'm talking about the land needs healing from the sin and the corruption that is upon it. You read over there where God was coming down to judge Sodom and Gomorrah. You remember what he said when he stopped and talked with Abraham on the way down there? He said, the very land cries out to me. When Cain rose up and slew Abel, and he was called on the carpet, God said, the very blood cries out from the land. I don't quite understand that. When we get to heaven, we may understand a little more. Somebody said the rocks and the trees and everything else God has created may just be batteries are listening devices that God is recording things in. Now, that may be a little far-fetched. I don't know. Some of you might have seen this in the early days, and I'm sidetracking here. Hope I don't go too far with it. I saw on one of the shows many years ago, you remember when they first come out with the so-called lie detector test where they would hook everybody up with these wires and sensors and give them a good guess whether they were lying or telling the truth. It was not something they could actually say for sure. But they took one of those lie detector tests on that particular show, and they hooked it up to a living green plant. I can't remember what the plant was, some kind of little tree-ish plant on the show. And then they showed the gauges, same way if they'd hooked it up to a man. Those needles on the graphs. Then they gave a demonstration how they could talk kindly and sweet to the plant. It would register one way. And if they abused it and threatened to kill it or to chop it down, the needle would go the other way. A lot of folks saw that. Say, what are you trying to say, preacher? I don't know. I don't know. Has God got the trees listening to you? Or the rocks? Jesus said when he came in on the triumphal entry on Palm Sunday, if the kids didn't cry out, the very rocks would. Kind of interesting thinking, isn't it? Interesting stuff. I'm saying to you, simply God said, if you'll hear, if you'll humble yourself, if you'll pray, if you'll seek my face, if you'll turn, then I'll hear, forgive and heal the land. I believe the land has been crying out to God. I really do. But you know what? I believe there's hope for America. Because God says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I believe a nation can come back to God like an individual. I'd say to you tonight personally, there's hope for you. You can repent, turn from your way to His, come back. Come back. You know, somebody says, what I do? The truth is, just like the rock may be storing up some information, I don't know. But I tell you where it is stored. It's stored in your soul. It's stored in your brain. It's stored in your heart. You know. I tell you, most of the sin that goes on in America is not from just pure ignorance. It's from pure will against God. Defiance of God. Most of it. If you're here tonight and God's been speaking to you about coming back, if you've been the prodigal and you're in the far country, you can come back. I'm glad to tell you there's hope. You can come back. You remember how the father looked to watch the prodigal way off? He warned him to come back. God the Father wants you to come back. And come back and He'll be waiting for you. Here's a promise I believe that we can claim as a nation. I also believe that you can claim it if you're far off from God tonight. You can come back to Him. And I'm glad that we can say that. God promises to do three things, and God has never broken a promise spoken. He is going to keep His word. My experience, most of us could give testimony. God is faithful to His word. Do you know the Lord Jesus? You know tonight if you died, you'd go to heaven? Have you been closer to Him in the past and you've purposely turned your way against His way? The good news is you can come back. You can come back. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank You for the Word of God. We thank You for the hope we see in it. We thank You for the hope we see for our nation. And Father, for us personally and individually. Tonight, Father, I pray if there's one following You like Peter did afar off, that tonight, like he did, they'll seek that repentance again in tears and come back to get right with You. I pray for the invitation. If there's one here unsaved, that they'd come and get saved. Pray Thy will would be done. And we thank You, Father, that You are a forgiving God, a loving God, and we can always come back, get forgiveness through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. Bless the invitation, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, please. Going to ask Brother Bert to lead us an invitation verse. Whatever God's asked you to do, will you do it as we sing?
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender. Forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. To Jesus I surrender, make me Savior, wholly Thine. May Thy Holy Spirit fill me, may I know Thy power divine. I surrender all. I surrender. My blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Well, it's easier to sing than it is to do, but you never go wrong. Surrendering anything God puts on your heart that's wrong, give it to Him. Give Him the benefit of the doubt. You'll always gain by it. Amen. Be a wonderful thing if God's people in America could do just what that song is saying.